Okay, this is the Marysville Board of Education regular meeting of Thursday, November 15th, 2012. Can I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Mabee.
Here.
Mrs. Greer.
Here.
Mrs. Devine.
Here.
Mr. Lassiter.
Here.
Mrs. Powers.
Here.
Okay, can we rise for the Pledge of Allegiance, please? Right there. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, next up is the agenda. I actually only have one addition to that. If you would add 6F, I believe Juliet Litzel. Is Juliet here?
Yes.
Okay, she would like to speak to the board, so I'm going to add her on to 6F. Is there any other additions, changes to the agenda? Are any text messages coming in? If not, I need a motion to approve the agenda then, please.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, I need a motion to approve Greg Stafford as the October 2012 Employee of the Month, please.
Moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Thank you.
First of all, Greg, would you like to come forward? He's an outstanding employee of the month, and look at the crowd you get. Normally, there's just a few people here to recognize. So tonight's a special night. Greg is obviously our employee of the month, and I'm going to take the opportunity to read what your coworkers and other people who work with you said about you to get this nomination. Greg is a pleasant, no-nonsense kind of guy. He does his job, shows up for work when expected, and doesn't complain. Greg goes the extra mile or above and beyond what's expected of him, and he handles situations both on and off his bus with little guidance from supervisors. Greg gets the job done. So congratulations.
All right, I need a roll call, please.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes, okay. Motion carries. And congratulations, Greg, and thank you for all that you do.
Thank you.
Next up, we have a presentation from the high school. They're going to be talking about their transition to the Common Core.
Which it looks like a lot of people are interested in.
I see. That's why they're all here tonight. They came to see that new beard.
Well, let me tell you about the beard.
That says right. Appreciate it. Thank you. So, yeah, it is not a requirement to grow facial hair in November to be an administrator at the high school. Don't do pies in the face. Don't kiss pigs. Me and the dunk tank. I just placed too much water. So, but growing my facial hair, can do. Can do. And it's for a worthy cause, and it also has other benefits, like I get to sleep in a little bit later, which is nice. Good evening for those of you who don't know me. My name is Matt Crispin. I serve as the principal in Marysville High School. Joining me today is Mr. Sean Williams, who is an assistant principal, and Mr. Scott Stackhouse, who also is assistant principal tonight. We're talking about our journey and our transition into the Common Core. Let's see. 2003, I think, is when I finished my administrative certification, and it was just about right then at the turn of the millennium that we really started talking about administrators, the role of the administrator changing to instructional leader. At least that's when I woke up in my classes. But we got a heavy dose of it in our training in August with Diane. Very exciting stuff, very awesome stuff, and very new. So that's when this journey began for the three of us, was this August, when we and Mr. Mabee was there suffering through as well. And seeing really what how large the task really was and how different it was for us. In August, September 2012, the next step that we took was we met with our department chairs and developed a work plan in transitioning into the Common Core. What followed, and that's a sample of that is in your packet. Sorry, I didn't bring enough for the crowd. What followed then was creating a professional development plan. Look, you know, setting up a calendar of our prime times, our in-service days, 2.5 hours we get for PD on those days, our waiver days, and then looking at a work plan and seeing when we could fit those pieces in so we could stay on track and end up with our finished product or finished goal, which was full alignment to the Common Core in English, mathematics, social studies, and science. If you do the quick math on our schedule, we've only spent about 4.5 hours of school time working on the Common Core. But if you could, you know, ask the folks in those departments, it's been a lot of extra work on their own time. Emails, weekends, after school hours, getting the work done, because it is an awesome task. Common themes amongst the, rather than go through each department and say, okay, here's how we did the gap analysis, here was the result. We took the common actions, the common themes that were part of this process thus far, and we kind of split them up, and we're each going to talk about a few of them as they pertain to our departments. So, having said that, Mr. Williams will begin talking about who did the work and how that was decided, into, and then a little bit about the gap analysis.
Good evening. Back in August, during our work session, we were getting trained, and at some point, Mr. Crispin looked over at me and said, you've got science. And it's actually been a very pleasurable experience. A lot of people, all the people in the science department I've known for quite a while, but I've not had the chance to work with them in this capacity. So it's been a great honor to work with such a hardworking group of people. Ms. Lender has been a great help to me and bringing me along with the science department. So what we did in the science department is we broke out into teams depending on what class you teach, what your license is, and what you're certified to teach. And they're broken down into four areas. We have our freshman science classes, and that's science 1 and 2 currently. We have our life science, which includes things like biology. We have chemistry, we have physics. So we broke out into those four groups. And the first thing we did was work on what's called a gap analysis. And what a gap analysis is a process in which you take everything you currently do and you look at that, and then you compare it with the Common Core standards. So we have the Ohio Content Standards, we have the Common Core standards, and we go through item by item and figure out what we need to keep, what needs to go away, and what needs to shift. So we did that, and the one thing that we discovered that we needed to first look at was our freshman science courses. Right now we have 2 semester courses, and Science 1 course focuses on physical science. Science 2 course focuses on earth science. As we move forward, new Common Core standards, we need to transition to a very long course. And it focuses a lot on what we currently do in Science 1, but it's a lot more in-depth. And there's also some things that we need to add in to that. And a lot of the earth science stuff is stuff that we don't need to do as much of anymore. So the majority of the work has been focusing on making that transition from a 2 semester courses to 1 year long course. Another big part of that is working on assessments and aligning those to the Common Core. And that is what one of Mr. Stackhouse's topics are. So I'm going to let him talk about common assessments.
All right. I promise short and sweet, common assessments. Well, first off, I'm Scott Stackhouse, and I oversee Special Ed Department, Social Studies Department, and Business Department. But common assessments at the high school, each department is really at different levels. I think the math department has been using common assessments for 8 or 9 years, and others are just kind of bringing them together just over the past few years. So, but the common assessments, they're powerful tools, and it helps align the curriculum with the standards. It reaches consensus on priorities for instruction and assessment. It paces the curriculum with implementation, and it generates discussion amongst the building and common language amongst the educators and the students. In short, kids that are in one class with one teacher should be learning the same content as the same teacher in another class. Now, the way they teach classes may be different, but all the content and all of that should all be the same, and then they'll be using the same assessments. I can tell you that the staff works very hard at looking at their assessments regularly to see what needs to be in there, what they could eliminate, and how to make things better. And then they're looking at the data to see, you know, what the kids are learning, what they need to go back to, and move forward. So that was the common assessments. The other piece that I wanted to talk about was communication, communicating these changes to the special ed department. And I have to tell you, Common Core mainly has been teacher-driven. These guys are working their tails off to find out what they need to do day in and day out. By far, that's where it's all coming from. They are working their tails off. Aside from what they're doing, most common method is probably emails. Things are coming from Mr. Crispin, Yvonne with curriculum, just trying to communicate, make sure that everybody is on the same page. We have staff meetings, and sometimes they're large groups, sometimes they're small group. We get into the nuts and bolts doing that. And then teachers are working very hard, in-service days, waiver days, prime times. And a lot of it is coming from department chairs. You know, with special ed, they have their own department, and they meet on their own. And then, you know, if we have a special ed teacher who is working with the history department or the math department, they also try to go to those department meetings to make sure that they're getting all the content coming from that subject as well. So that's it from my 2 minutes. And Mr. Crispin, I believe, is going to wrap things up here.
Not quite yet.
Hello.
Early on the first training back in August, Diane talked about, you know, walking into a classroom and knowing the Common Core is going on. Or I think she said Common Core-ish. And thinking of her own words. So we talk a lot about, you know, what's that look like? And you know, what are those indicators that's happening in the classroom? And one of them was simply that the standards are posted. And the standards are very lengthy. I brought one here with me from English Language Arts. This is this would be labeled W, which is writing, 9-10, 9th and 10th grade, and it's the 8th one. And the standard is gather relevant information from multiple authoritative print and digital sources using advanced searches effectively, assess the usefulness of each source in answering the research question, integrate information into the text selectively to maintain the flow of ideas, avoiding plagiarism, and following a standard format for citation. Now, what ninth grader is going to get that? And that's where the next step we get into talking about the student learning objectives or the I can statements you hear our elementary brothers and sisters talk about. But, you know, it's taking that standard and breaking it down into kid language. So when they come to home and you say, Hannah, what'd you do today in English class? Well, I can define plagiarism. And I know the difference between plagiarism and paraphrasing. And so it's not just seeing the big standard, but then it's what's the take home? What did the kid learn for that day? What's that expectation? And then, you know, we've even gone as far as walking into the classroom if there's a lab going on in Mr. Ward's class and just say, hey, what are you doing? What are those chemicals in there? Why are you heating it? They ought to be able to tell us that stuff. So when you walk into our classrooms, that's what we want to see. That's what we want to hear. Helping us with that training are the formative instructional practices modules, the online modules. Can I hear a sigh from high school people? They take some time, but they help us clarify or create clear learning targets so the kids can answer, where am I going? Provide evidence of student learning so kids know where they're at in the process. And they evaluate, they do that themselves. Helping us collect data and share that data, not only with the students, but with parents. And then making sure that the feedback is effective so the kids know that indeed they are on the right track. It's all research-based stuff. It works, and it's directly tied to increased student achievement. So at the end of the year, we will have documents that show that our courses are aligned in those four content areas to the Common Core. We'll have our main common assessments, the semester and final exams, will all have been aligned and to the standards as well. Some departments, as Scott said, use more common assessments already. They're way ahead of the game, so they're already going to have some of that stuff aligned. You'll be able to walk into our classrooms and see that the Common Core is implemented. So that's where we're headed in the future. Next steps will be looking at our materials and looking at our textbooks and making sure they're aligned with what we're doing. We're looking at testing works training for our staff to help with the housing of student data and help with analysis of that data. Ranging for professional development and for reading across the content area. That's really new. You know, social studies teachers were not taught how to teach reading. They're taught learn the dates, cause and effect, that kind of thing, but actually helping kids learn to read social studies, primary text, we've got to work on that. And then we need to do some articulation then with grades, with our transitional grades, 5 through 9. So those will be our next steps. That's where we're at. That's where we're headed.
I got a quick question.
Sure.
Mr. Williams talked about having to change gave an example of changing biology, your science classes. What's the overall effect going to be on your schedule, I would assume, for next year, given that you're going to have to change, it sounds like you're going to have to change a lot of classes. Is that correct?
Not going to have to change a lot of classes. I think that is the elimination of earth science in that freshman.
Right.
That's been the biggest change.
So there's really not a great deal of effect on your schedule then?
Some in math, a little bit, mm-hmm. because math is changing quite a bit, where Algebra 1 is probably going to see Algebra 1 phased out of the middle school, and it'll all be at the high school, and Algebra 1 will look more like Algebra 2, and big changes as far as the depth of those levels. Probably some of the seniors are probably thinking, I'm glad I'm
kidding. Cool. Anybody else have any questions? All right, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right.
All right, next up on the agenda is the superintendent's report.
Well, I thought I'd give you a quick update on the board office. We're going to shoot for first of the year, I think, would be safe. We're hoping it won't be that long, but I think I'll switch my date. I keep telling you December 1st, and that is getting a little out of reach with Thanksgiving. So looks like it's going to be $125,000, $150,000, which is covered by insurance of the company that ran through. But Mike's done a nice job trying to get that organized. Sometimes it doesn't work as quickly as we would like. But we're hoping first of the year we'll be back in our other spot,
right.
our regular spot maybe. Mm-hmm. Although I think I've now been in this office longer than my other one. So. I sent you an email yesterday, and I sent Matt an email, and we're getting ready to do a press release. But the high school was honored on the AP honor roll, so we are one of 539 high schools in the nation. that were recognized for improvement in the area of AP and AP offerings and scores. And so super proud of the efforts of the high school to make that transition. That's something certainly to hang your hat on with those improvements. They don't happen overnight and without strategy. So thought that was a great piece. And, you know, obviously we have packed house tonight. I want to kind of hit on the levy a little bit and let you know kind of what's happened from our perspective since the devastation, I will call it, last Tuesday. Certainly lots of disappointed people, lots of disappointed employees, and lots of disappointed parents and community members that we've talked to over the past week. And a lot of anxiety around that. We put out a timeline, which I talked to all of you about prior to issuing that last Friday, and thought maybe I'd just run through that, kind of give everyone a reminder.
Can I talk about the levy committee real quick?
Sure.
Or were you going to jump, or were you going to give me that later on?
I was going to give you that in a minute.
Oh, go ahead then.
All right. We obviously have conversations. This is the first time we've been together as a group, and a lot of work to do around the framework that was approved earlier, I think in August, September time frame, and a lot of work and consideration to do around that. The lofty goal and kind of the commitment we've made is to talk and have employees prepared in January, but there's a lot of work in between now and then. To date, what I will tell you, we've had a lot of Andy and I and other members of that cabinet team had a lot of conversations with different people. Spent a lot of time with NEA building reps and leadership last night talking through questions and rumors and trying to calm the waters down a little bit. Obviously, we have tonight, and then you know, we'll talk about a possibility of maybe an extra work session sometime in December where we could have an additional chunk of time together. Would like to, after tonight, be able to talk to classified and certified employees on that Monday after Thanksgiving to kind of reiterate the timeline, have conversations with them about where we are. They have work days, so I'm just going to try to schedule some time within there to have those meetings. Then we would have two meetings in December, the second of which would be more positional kind of rifts to talk about at that time, or reductions to talk about at that time. And what I committed to last night was that meeting is December 20th. I don't want to mess this up. So December, am I right, Kevin? 21st. We'll commit to meet with every staff member that would be affected in January. So that kind of lays things out in a quick fashion. I think there is an appreciation and an urgency for people to be informed. I think the feedback we've received is, I'd much rather receive not that they want to receive a RIF notice, let me make that clear, but I'd much rather receive it now and get called back than someone wait till April or May and inform us as the employees. So I think it's important to listen to that and for us to try to commit to what we've said. Certainly disappointing time. We've talked a lot about sticking together. Sticking together because we know the battle isn't over. We know the importance of May. Our levy team has already met and done a reflection session. So, Jeff, would you
like to? Yeah, actually, I want to touch on actually our levy committee real quick. And I want to make sure, even though we lost our levy, we had a group of people that did an unbelievable amount of work for this district. You know, running a levy takes a lot of personal time. It's, you know, no one gets paid for it. We don't use any district funds, so someone's got to fundraise for it. They have to write their own articles and everything. So I wanted to thank personally our levy committee, and I want to call them out real quick. They don't have to stand up, although I know some of them are here. But I want to recognize them because they gave a tremendous amount of time, and unfortunately the result wasn't what we had hoped for, but that, you know, that doesn't lessen the amount of work that they did. So, you know, I want to thank Chris Schmank, Ann Langlois. And I never get the last name. Jane Ader, Julie Duvall, Vicki Cavour, our own Sue Devine ran one of our subcommittees, Pam Klaus, Tracy Richardson, A.D. Dietrich, Corey Bix, Nan Savage on signs. I know she's here. Certainly, Cindy and Diane did an unbelievable amount of work. So really, thank you to all of you folks who really took the time to try to help the district out. So.
I think that's important because I think all those people are on board again and have a new sense of momentum and commitment and are ready to push forward and really start already talking about fundraising and those kind of things. So we've made some connections talking about connecting with a strategy company to help form our message. It's significant money and will require large donations. Obviously, the school district cannot pay for that. So looking at some strategies with that. We don't have an easy message with two renewals, so it's important how that we make that very clear. So working on those things on the horizon as well as remembering and maintaining our commitment to the staff to keep communicating and keep the doors open.
All right.
And that's all I have for this evening.
Okie dokie. Treasurer's report.
I will give a short and quick one today. First off, the board policy, just to bring everybody up to date, we've had our last session. The next session will be a work session for us to go over as a board with the second draft. So that should be coming either, I would say, maybe in December, yeah.
So when are we looking to approve that first batch? In December or in January?
Probably January.
Okay.
In January.
And how many batches are there?
Well, we've went through. I think we've got the ones that we really need to take care of out there that we've got to do. We've got a couple on today that we have to get passed. One for legal reasons,
right?
Within the law, one that should have been done probably a month ago and one now, too. So we've got those now. So those will be on our tonight, and then the rest I think can wait until we get everything else done together. So. Those should be. Bonds were sold today. We got some good news. Our interest rate was 2.857%, a savings of $1,907,248 over the time. So between now and 2029, that's what the savings will be. And this year is what we were trying to get. This year we were trying to get $500,000. We had $650,000 in savings for our December 1st payment. So that's really good. So that's what we need out of that PI bond area. So that was really, really good. So I think we're in pretty good shape. So
that all you got?
That's it.
Anybody got any questions? Okie dokie. Next up, the Ohio High Point Report.
Mine will be short, too. Well, we had an expulsion here yesterday, so that was pretty much the bulk of our meeting.
You don't have to talk about that.
No, I won't talk about that. But I will talk about just some of the upcoming events. One of them is actually tonight, but it's their Taste of the Future event.
Oh.
And I have yet to make it to one. I was committed to do it this year, and the board meeting hit on it. But I guess they have that. They kind of showcase some of the programs they have out there, and then a bunch of the local restaurants and stuff provide food. I'm not even sure how it all works, but it's a big deal. It's their biggest event, and they I guess it's out on the radio. They broadcast certain aspects.
Do they use that to recruit kids in as well?
I think so, and maybe to get local support.
Hmm.
I really thought I would have a little bit more information this year by going to it.
There's always next year.
Yeah, there's always next year. Marysville did have the Student of the Month out there. So that was pretty impressive. Lauren Knepper. She's in the cosmetology program. So
very good. Congratulations.
And as always, they all do a great job of getting up and praising how much they love High Point and their parents and the teachers and staff. And they're just the kids out there are very impressive. Speaking of cosmetology, they have a Solana fund. So if you need your haircut, Jeff.
I do. Just thinking I did.
December 6th at 7:30, so they kind of run a salon out there and give them experience from that. And then an important thing is the all-boards banquet that they have every year.
Yeah.
And we're probably the biggest offenders of not attending that, so it would be really nice if we can
When is that this year?
That is January 9th at 6 p.m. And I went last year. That was the first time I ever made it to one. And I want to say several board members and every superintendent from the 14 different districts usually attend that thing. And it's a pretty cool event. The culinary program there actually cooks the meal and good presentation. So
I think I went to the one that my first year on the board. It's actually pretty neat.
Yeah, it is pretty neat. It's a good networking opportunity too, other board members. I think that is it for my report.
Cool. Thank you. Legislative report.
Not much here. They're back in session. And the House Education Committee has had hearings this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. They introduced the House Bill 555, the report cards, and they had hearings on that Tuesday, Wednesday, and today. And I tried to get a copy of the bill, but it was not. They still had the placeholder legislation.
The LSC didn't have it?
Correct. So I did call Stebbleton's office, but I did not receive an electronic copy of it. So the other two pieces of legislation, one is for school metal detectors, to require public schools to install metal detectors in all classroom buildings unless they obtain a waiver from the superintendent of public instruction. That was the first hearing on Tuesday. And the other piece was physical education, so that they can excuse high school who play rugby as a school club sport. And then yesterday, Dorothy Palanda had, there was a third hearing on the student transfers with respect to school districts withholding or transfer to another district or school of the grades and credits of a child who's alleged or adjudicated an abused, neglected, or dependent child. I think we talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in the spring.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's it.
That's it. All right. Finance Committee.
And mine's going to be the shortest report of all because we did not have a meeting.
All right, then. And we will just cross you off. When are you meeting again?
December 6th.
What's the plan for that meeting?
The 4th.
December 1st?
4th.
4th?
December 4th. So you got that nailed down.
December 4th.
And what's that one going to be? Mm-hmm. Topic-wise?
Well, I'm sure we'll be discussing the levy, and we'll be talking about
forecast and all that.
Forecast. Mm-hmm. We've talked about our cash balance policy, so I mean, those kind of all fit together. That's the direction we're moving in.
TPP planning.
Thank you, Doug.
That is, cash policy does root.
Right.
Go back to the bonds, too, because we did get a negative.
They ding us for not having one?
Yes.
They dinged us for not passing the levy, and we have a negative outlook from both Moody's and Standard & Poor's. Luckily that we're in the enhancement with the state program. Otherwise, we wouldn't have gotten the rate that we got.
Do they look for a minimum cash balance?
Yes. The guys from Moody's said 7 to 10% is what they'd like to see. Of your budget.
I'd like to see that too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're not that far off though, right?
We weren't. No,
we weren't.
We were right at 7%. So yeah.
All right, good enough. Thank you. Next up, Juliet. I know she's out there somewhere. There she is.
This is my vice president, J.B. Ritchie, and he's going to speak first.
Good evening, members of the board. For those of you who don't know me, my name is J.B. Ritchie. I wear lots of hats in the school district to cover up my haircut. Yeah. I'm in my fourth year teaching here in Marysville. I'm currently serving as one of the art teachers at Bunsell Middle School. I'm also a cross-country coach at Bunsell, one of the track coaches for the varsity track teams at Marysville High School, and I'm also serving as Juliet's vice president after she very kindly twisted my arm to come on board. Obviously, a huge issue on the agenda tonight is our failed levy. I'd like to speak to you from personal experience and from the depths of my heart, to be quite honest. The reason why one of the driving reasons why I'm teaching here in Marysville is because for the first 7 years of my career, I taught out of state. I am here because I was a RIF teacher. I was a reduction in force teacher from the school district where I used to teach. My entire school was closed due to major budgetary and monetary reasons. It was a horribly devastating experience to go through. I saw families torn apart, teaching colleagues of mine, obviously having to be separated, many moving out of state from, I was in South Carolina at the time. It was absolutely awful to go through. And because of the unfortunate situation we now need to deal with, the beginnings of that are now going to have to happen here, which choices of who is going to be cut lie with you folks. I certainly would not want to be in your shoes or in your position. But out of that god-awful situation that I went through, there was one saving grace, which eventually brought me here to Marysville, and that was the leadership in the district where I was, in a very timely manner, in a very quick manner, decided where the cuts were going to happen. So I guess my message to you, I guess I implore to you, please, the guidelines that were set by Diane that were approved by you as to when these cuts, when these decisions need to be made, if you could do everything that you can and exhaust every resource that you can to stick to that guideline so that teachers know, workers know in this district, when they will not have a job. My saving grace was that I found out right on Halloween of that school year, which allowed me to apply to about 300 school districts. I thank my lucky stars every day that I landed here. As I hear Mr. Crispin say at many meetings, I'm very proud to be a monarch. Please, do everything that you can to extend the teachers of this district who have given up so much and sacrificed so much for the betterment of the whole of this district. Please extend them the common courtesy and the downright respect that they need to be able to transition to these quite possible and quite definite, maybe in some cases, major life changes that are going to need to occur for them to find new jobs, to possibly sell their homes, and to move forward from the situation. Thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Education Association here on behalf of our 300 some members. I'm here to also give an update of what's been happening, what we've been hearing, let the board know where the teachers are and where we are unfortunately going. I'm in constant communication with many of you out there, with Diane multiple times a day, Cindy. Classified people are talking to me, community, different administrators are talking to me. So those lines of communication, I'm glad they're open. And as long as we can keep those open as we can, I definitely would like to encourage that both ways. I just wanted to point out some things on the levy, frequently asked questions on paper that was given out, that our schools would look significantly different if this levy failed, and we're there. It's just a shame, really, that there's the recommend is to cut 35 staff, total staff. Yes, that's going to make us look real different, and there's a lot of people in this room that might not be here next year. So what happened was teachers got together and got some thoughts together from lots of different people, and so I'd like to take a moment to, I just gave it to you, read it real quick, and then finish with a few thoughts. So this is to the board and Superintendent Mannequins. This letter is written collectively by the Marysville Education Association to voice our two main concerns regarding the budget shortfall. First, teachers have taken on more students. Classified and certified staff have taken have voluntarily frozen their pay for 2 years for forgoing our negotiated raises. They've taken on higher insurance premiums, and now it looks like we are the majority of these cuts or reductions. As a result, the teachers feel that their previous efforts and sacrifices have gone unnoticed. We would ask that the board and superintendent to reconsider the non-academic cuts to the district so the district can continue to pride itself with the title of Excellence with Distinction. Without this second consideration, the community could misinterpret the district's mission statement of providing educational opportunities for students of all ages and abilities to reach their fullest potential so they will make a meaningful contribution as lifelong learners to our community and society as a whole. While other budgetary cuts may not be enough to bridge this gap, financial gap, we believe that we need to make all other cuts possible prior to cutting academic programs and assistance. Even though Superintendent Mankins set the timeline, the second concern, like Jamie said, is to know specifically who and what will be cut so that those affected will be able to plan. We ask that you are diligent in making these decisions, Board, as priority and informing us as soon as possible. We thank you for that information sent out Friday regarding the cuts. The following areas that we believe a district could that is dedicated to academics could consider before any cuts are made to courses and educators. We are not bringing these ideas to the table with the idea that there's waste in any area. As teachers are very aware daily of how tightly our budget runs, we also realize that these cuts may not close the gap in funding completely, but we believe that every increment of our current education program is worth saving with hopes that we can recover these areas in future levy passage. We hope that you would reduce or eliminate extracurricular activities. We would hope that you would consider transportation elimination for the high school, even starting as early as January or next year, whatever, or next school year, sorry. Reduce the maintenance staff to just critical need. Reduce non-essential supplementals and classified staff. Increase pay-to-play fees and reinstate the transportation fee for these activities. Offer early retirement and or buyout incentives for teachers. Reduce staff at the transportation garage. Do a cost analysis of the outsourcing of copies. Cost analysis of the receiving center for the mail and shipping that could go directly to the buildings. For next school year, add a fixed fee for students, such as maybe $5 a kid, to aid in paying for those daily supplies. And also analyze redistricting the buildings with the possibility of closures. Our pride in Marysville School is strong. We have proven that each time we have been asked to do more with less. However, we need to have the support of the board and the superintendent above all in order to continue our tradition of excellence for the students in this community. Our staff makes us excellent from top down, from leadership to the teachers to every classified person here. And we don't want any of those people to lose their jobs, but it's obvious that some are going to have to lose their jobs because there's just not enough to cut anymore. Morale is awful. It's sad. And it's the board's job to know, and it's your responsibility, what our funding is, and to make sure we have enough money to run. And now it's too late. We had one chance, and it's gone. And these cuts, we understand, are mandatory. It's a state funding problem, but now it's all on us. You know, it's the community said no. At least the majority of them did. In the frequently asked questions, they said being lean is our new normal, and we have cut and we have cut. City has found different ways to save money. We have taken freeze on the base salary, no steps. So many different things have been done and by our teachers and by other staff in our district. And Greg Stubbs gave me an analogy of wrestlers cutting weight. And you cut and you cut, and we've done that. And eventually, when you take that much away, you're going to start cutting into your muscle, and that's where we are. And if you start cutting all of these staff members first, you are really taking away that muscle and the things that make us so strong. So, again, we hope that you at least consider our list that we gave you and keep the lines of communication open. And to us, and as well, we'll let you know what we're hearing too, because we've always done this collaboratively. We want to do what we can to obviously save as many jobs as we can. In the meantime, getting rid of some of the extras. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. And I know that you know, I know the board appreciates hearing that feedback, especially directly from you. And you know, we will certainly take those into consideration. But I'll reiterate what Diane said. You know, we're either going to do this together, or we're going to do it apart. But we're going to, you know, we're going to have to do it. And we've always worked together. And I don't really want to see that relationship. You know, it's going to be a bumpy road. But you know, I think we're all in this together. And so I look to continue that. So thank you. All right, next up I have public participation. A couple of folks would like to speak to the board tonight. Janet Benedict. She would like to speak about the physical education program. Did you want to copy this? Probably a few minutes.
First of all, I'm Janet Benedict. I'm a physical education teacher at Northwood Elementary, and this is part of our physical education staff across the district that are here in support of our program. We know that there's a lot going on, but we felt we're passionate, and we felt the need for you to hear what we do, because we don't really know whether you know what we do or not. So you have a letter that we kind of put together. I'm just going to read it, so sorry, the rest of you. While we understand that all jobs in our district are vitally important to our students' education, we would like to make you aware of the importance of a quality physical education program and the recent mandate by the Ohio Department of Education as it relates to physical education. Based on sequence of learning, physical education should not be compared to or confused with other physical activity experiences such as recess, intramurals, or recreational endeavors. Research findings have established that physical activity reduces risk of diabetes, osteoporosis, cancer, heart disease, depression, and obesity. Quality physical education teaches students about physical activity. It is not playtime. It's not a break, and it's directly related to science, math, and other learning that students need. It is now mandated by the Ohio Department of Education that teachers administer physical education assessments on 6 state standards, 12 different benchmarks, with multiple assessments tied to each of these benchmarks. These assessments must be administered at minimum at the end of each grade band, and the data must be compiled and sent to the Ohio Department of Education, the results of which will appear on our state report card beginning this current school year. With current time constraints, it is extremely difficult for all students to meet expectations. We need to consider how the loss or reduction of physical education will impact our students. Not only will they struggle with the assessments, but the quality of our program will also be at risk. By teaching students what is necessary to lead a healthy lifestyle, we can make an impact in our students' lives now and in the future. Physical education is an integral part of the educational process. As a result of physical education, students are more likely to be better prepared as productive students, workers, and contributors to their communities and organizations within society. Research has proven that participants in regular physical education programming have higher cognitive functioning. As physical educators, we take pride in the physical education curriculum and programs currently being offered. Please help us make sure our students are fit and healthy, and the physical education program provided for our students is of the highest quality, taught by certified physical educators. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you clearly for your passion for what you do. Mary Ann Corbin, she's going to talk to us about the business ed program.
I am. I'm Mary Ann Corbin. I am a 55-year member of the Marysville community. My parents both were born and grew up in this community, and 10 years ago, I decided to do a mid-career switch and became an educator after 27 years in the business world. My main motivation, honestly, to become an educator was that I felt I could really help students understand what their world was going to be when they got out of high school and or college. And I have loved every single minute of it. It's been the best job I've ever had. And the idea that the state of Ohio is recommending that our students be 21st century learners, and considering that last year 49% of our students did not go on to college, of course I'm passionate because I teach business, as all of us are passionate about the career or the field that we teach, but it is something that with electives, I think the general public tends to think that it's all the extra fluffy stuff, when in reality, it's everything that is preparing them to be the 21st century community member. And, of course, I'm grateful for having gone to Marysville, and grateful for all the connections that have led me to this point in life. And at the same time, creative living and the VOAG departments, all their various programs, the foreign language programs, those really truly are not fluff. They are part of what makes a good citizen community, as the mission statement says, lifelong learner. And so I appreciate your time, and thank you.
Thank you. Next up, Jonathan Driscoll. Jonathan's going to speak about Students for Alternative Solutions.
Good evening. I know a lot of teachers, board members. Nice to meet you, Superintendent. Nice to meet you as well. First off, let me say I hate that our levy didn't pass. A lot of people, the majority of people, if not all people in this room, feel the same way. PTBM, proud to be a monarch, Mr. Crispin. I bought into that 100%. I know my peers right here, Student Council, you've bought into that as well. Some people in here told me to run into a brick wall. I do it. I mean, that's how much I believe in them wholeheartedly, and hopefully, you know, they speak to that as well. My biggest thing, word around the high school is, and your great reference about the wrestling thing, you cut weight, and then you start carrying yourself. Students realize that as well. We know changes are going to have to be made. A lot of students at the high school love classes. They love their electives. They love the options that they have and opportunities that they have to take the courses that they want and to be engaged as much as they can in the educational aspect of high school. Obviously, with the financial situation that, you know, that we're in, that has been brought upon us, it is clear that you guys have tough decisions that lie ahead of you that you are going to make, and I'd like to submit this document that I have, and a petition done, drafted and conducted in one day by myself, Student Council President, and my peers as well, not all of them, none of which are here, saying that just over 700 signatures at Marysville High School, not in the district, just at the high school, that are in favor of alternative cuts, to see that as many of our, you know, teachers, our friends, and even in some way our peers, get saved, that their jobs are kept and their families kept secure. And obviously, Mr. Ritchie had a great point. You know, I feel like it's only fair that they get to know, you know, in a timely manner, that way they can prepare themselves to move on to the next step and, you know, to recover from ultimately the devastation that hopefully does not occur, but if it does, you know, where they can be well prepared and well off. I'd like to submit this to you guys. Like I said, thank you guys, thank everybody here for your time, and I wish the best as we move forth, and hopefully we can rebound and continue to build on this wonderful district and wonderful schools that we have in the community, and I am completely 100% proud to be a monarch. So thank you, guys.
Thank you. That's what makes Marysville great. Next up, Mr. Holton.
Please call me the bitch.
Yes, sir, Mr. Holton.
Sir. I'm Rich Holton, and I'm retired. effective 6 months now, I think. My wife and I are graduates of Marysville High School, parents of three graduates of Marysville High School, and I finished teaching here a number of years. We don't have to go into that. I'll keep this brief because it's obvious you've got a lot to do this evening. I've got a few comments and a few questions, and I don't want you to feel like I'm trying to obligate you to answer those at this time. I'm just thinking if I can give you some food for thought, that's really what my goal is. You're fully aware that any cuts that you make are going to hurt folks. In fact, the cuts that have already been made have hurt people. Some of those are more visible than others. I think this next round of cuts are going to be a lot more visible. An obvious question is what can be cut that minimizes the effect on program opportunities for students? Because that's really what this is about, is what things are going to be done that are going to limit opportunities for students. For me, the most important area is academics. Even as just a member of the community now. And so I'd ask the question, are there things that can be cut to help the district tread water just a little bit longer until adequate funding can be found? Got a few side issues to get into, and then I'll get into the thing that really brought me here. But, I hear people make comments sometimes about, and it came up in the election recently about class sizes and the And I just like to respond to that from the standpoint of, would you want to teach three or more students in kindergarten? My grandkids wear me out after a day or two. Would you want to have 30 or more students in a chemistry lab or wood shop around Sauls? And one of the other things I'll get into is, unfortunately, we live in a society that seems like it labels a lot of things. We like to put labels to things. We call something extracurricular to try to make it sound like it really isn't as important. Or something that's an elective. Good grief, even in mathematics, we have things that they call imaginary numbers, and they do exist. they're just not applied on a wide scale. So, calling something an elective doesn't mean it's less important. It's just titled just a little bit differently. But class size, to me, is one of those where it depends on the level, it depends on the topic. And we've got to be careful in education when we try that one-size-fits-all approach. Because when it's one size fits all, most people are wearing things they shouldn't be wearing. So we've got to be careful with some things. My wife has to deal with a lot of this stuff now, so I've heard in terms of budgets, that 85% of the budget is for salaries and benefits. And that's probably true. But you've got to be careful when you use percentages. A big reason why it's 85% is because we don't spend a lot of money on equipment and supplies. Good grief, we still use, I'm surprised we're not still using slide rules at the high school level. And we've gone to graphing calculators as far as students requiring those. If we spent the same amount of money on salaries and benefits that we do now, but we increased the spending on supplies and resources, then the percent spent on salaries would go down. So we've got to be careful when people throw numbers out, because you can have numbers say a lot of things. And so that's one of those things we need to be very careful about. This district has been rated an excellent school district on the strength of the staff. And again, that's not just teachers. Juliet had mentioned, the support staff as far as classified and so forth. And they're doing it with limited resources. We've got a very strong staff. And I know that you're going to keep that in mind when you go to make these cuts. But if there's anything that you can do to limit the number of cuts to people, because it's not, for me, it's not about protecting teachers' jobs. It's student opportunities. And when you cut teachers, you're going to limit student opportunities. What brought me here this evening was the main thing when I read things like, we're going to cut electives. Because, some folks would say that, I'm very passionate about mathematics, which I am. But I'm passionate really about all areas. I just haven't let that out very much. And so, you've got to maintain a certain But when you talk about electives, I wonder, does that mean advanced placement courses? I just heard, which I thought was pretty neat, the recognition that the high school received as far as AP courses. Those technically are what we would title elective courses. Are we going to cut those? The success rate for students is pretty high on those particular courses. And so I would think that would be something we'd be very careful about. Also, cutting AP courses may not save that much because a lot of those students can go PSEO. And so the district is obligated. So, as numbers are put together, we've got to be careful about that. I want to pull out the high school math just as an example and then maybe try to transition that to a few other departments. The high school math department has essentially one elective course in addition to the AP Calc courses, and that's probability and statistics. This is a class that started off with an enrollment of around 10 students that is now around 140, and it's technically an elective course. But we have a lot of students that are taking this for preparation to college. They hear their classmates have taken that, gone to college, and been very successful, and Karen now has this operating as a dual enrollment course. Along with the Ohio Core, as you know, the students are going to be required to have 4 years of mathematics. They're not going to. We have a number of students that don't need, nor are they going to be successful in pre-calculus. That's not a good option for them. That stats course is a great course for a college-bound student as far as it may be, it's not a theoretical but very hands-on course, and this is a course that I really don't think should be cut. In terms of other departments, they're going to have their own story to tell. Theirs is going to be different than high school math, and I hope that you will visit with the departments before the cuts are enacted. Give the folks in the departments a chance to target the cuts as necessary because they're going to have better ideas on things than what I am. I just got a few other things I'd like to mention. Our music program receives a lot of well-deserved accolades, band and show choir. One of the things that impressed me last year was at the alumni banquet when Dee Winters was honored, the number of alumni where music is still playing a big part of their lives. They wouldn't view their music preparation here as an elective. It was a foundation for them to be successful after graduation. So we title it an elective, and again, I've got a little bit of a problem with that. These courses lay a foundation for their future pursuits. FFA was recently recognized on a national scale. Take some things that are less visible. A course called Engines. That would be an elective course, but students are taught to repair and to build engines. And that might be the very thing that employs that particular student or has them create a business. That could be a very important course for them. I don't know that there's anything that we offer that couldn't be a foundation course for some of these students. So cutting them will be very tough, and you know that. I don't have to point that out. I had to look this one up, the Technology Education Department. I'm used to calling that Industrial Arts. Pick a course in that department that isn't going to be useful to somebody. In the business department, pick a course that's not beneficial. Mary Ann talked about that, but she wasn't patting themselves on the back any. A lot of their courses are offered dual enrollment. And after 36 years, I found this out last May. After the calculus AP test, we were working on some financial kinds of things. I thought, well, we'll just go down to the one of the computer labs and we'll get on Excel. Now, I'm dealing with some of the brightest kids in our school, and most of them had not been on Excel. Now, some of that's on me. I mean, that bothers me because as a math teacher, that's something we could have been doing. And so we've been graduating students, high-level students, without computer skills. That business department might be titled elective. To me, not an elective. Also, when you consider our culture, can you think of courses that would be more important than nutrition or parenting or lifetime fitness? Somehow these cuts need to be vetted with these departments, and I know that that's a big job. There's a lot of people to talk to, and I'm glad to hear about the interchange between the MEA and the board office and the superintendent. I think that's a positive. But I'm concerned that these cuts are going to be enacted without thorough input from the staff. People have ideas. Again, I ask you, are there things that can be cut to help the district tread water a little longer so that hopefully adequate funding can be obtained? I thank you for your opportunity to speak this evening.
Mr. Brandpass.
I don't have a whole lot to say. passionate about this community. I'm passionate about my friends. But I want to be real. You brought in a new administration, and you put them in a very difficult position. We've known that this storm's been coming for some time, and it's your responsibility to forecast this. And the unfortunate thing is, you gave us one shot before cuts are going to be made. And to me, that's a travesty. We know that it's difficult to pass levies around here. We know that this levy should have been put on a year and a half, 2 years ago. And we worry about this and we worry about that. You ultimately gave these people one shot at it before cuts have to be made. And I would hope that you would reconsider, and I would hope that you give it another shot in the near future. So that's all I have to say.
All right, thanks. Anybody else that wanted to? Okay. Then I thank all of you for your input to the board, and I know we'll take all of your remarks into consideration when we sit down to, unfortunately, do the job that we need to do. So, all right, next up on the agenda then, if you all want to stay for the meat and potatoes of the meeting, you're certainly welcome to do it. All right. I need a motion to approve the November 1st, 2012 special meeting minutes and the October 18th, 2012 regular minutes as submitted by the Treasurer.
Second.
Moved and second. Any discussion? Hearing none, need a roll call, please.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes. Motion carries. Next up, I need a motion to approve the Treasurer CFO action items 9A and B, please.
Moved. Second.
Moved and second. Cindy.
Not a whole lot regular information on the financials. There is the new activity is a new school store at the high school. They'll be selling supplies and Monarch wear and all, and it'll be helpful for the kids to have some experience, and it's going to be run by the students, especially within the special ed area.
It's kind of a school-to-work
type program. Yeah. It's going to be pretty neat what's going on there. So.
Is that it?
That's it.
Any questions?
Oh, did you? Any chance it's going to go online at some point? The store?
I don't know. Right now, no. But right now, you know, right there, because they know the kids need supplies,
sure.
And why not get it and
just
be able to help them out.
Wear and stuff like
yeah.
that.
Yeah,
I
that'd be
did
cool.
That at High Point, and mm-hmm. had some business leaders, you know, people from the business community come in and help. And that might be something
that could
next
be.
Day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A good project.
Yeah. It would be a good project for the students.
Different right. business partners, and that's part of, as the transition coordinator, something she's working on. So.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That would be great. Any further questions or comments? Hearing none, then I need a roll call, please.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mr. Lester.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes. Motion carries. All right. Next up, I need a motion to approve the resolution authorizing the execution of a master lease purchase agreement and related schedule, please.
Moved.
Second. Moved and second. Cindy.
This is for the lease for, it'll be the wireless equipment and routers and all for the technology to bring us back, get us back into some of the areas there. This is a 0% lease for 3 years. Still finishing up the lease, actual lease part of it with our attorneys, but it is the final lease for that.
Now, they need approval from us to move forward.
They need approval for us to move forward on the lease, yes, and that's what this does.
Okay.
Why? It's not the final approval of a lease, though, because that's still in the works.
That will. This is the final approval okay. as far as the lease. All we need is the board approved to okay. do the lease, and then after that, it will be all.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we,
I can't remember. Why did we end up switching from... There was a different company we first talked about.
We were looking at Cisco.
Yes.
And then we were looking at this HP. HP is more cost-effective for these parts and all. It was much... We could get more for our money.
And then the phones are Cisco, correct?
The phones will be Cisco, and we haven't even started working on that
right
yet.
And there's not any issue with compat. I mean, it's two
no
separate.
No, so they'll be able to work
is
together.
Is this a part of the COG at all? I mean,
this is not part of the COG.
The Cisco is.
This is okay not.
So will this mean that all of our buildings will have
wireless? Yes. Okay. Wireless capabilities that will connect. Yeah. Yeah. So some of the equipment right now is 7 years old.
Any further questions?
No, it's permanent improvement money.
Not operating funds.
Not operating
right
funds,
yeah, it's
yes
permanent. Okay, any further questions? Hearing none, then I need a roll call, please.
Mr. Laster.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next, I need a motion to approve the impracticality of school transportation, please, for students A through E.
Moved.
Second.
Moved and second, then. Any discussion on that?
These are students that go to other, that are within the 30, their half hour distance of this district, but it's not practical for us to transport them on the bus. So.
And they're attending a private school?
Yes.
Is this a law that we
yes
have to transport them?
Yes, it is a law.
But we can declare them impracticable.
Or reimburse them.
Or reimburse them. So yes. Same way we transport students out to St. John's. Because it's within, they can make it.
Okay. Any other questions? Hearing none, I need a roll call, please.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes.
Mrs. Devine?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, we have two board policies. So I need a motion to approve the revision of the board policy for reduction in professional staff workforce and the revision of the policy for bullying hazing, please.
Moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Discussion, please. Anything from our superintendent?
As Cindy mentioned, the bullying policy is something we're probably a little behind on and need to get that in. And then the administrative RIF, our current policy was absent. we have to, by law, seek input from administrators. So they received this policy 3 days ago. And had the opportunity for an open session as well today with us. So.
And nothing changed on that policy then? From that meeting?
No.
Okay. Any discussion? Hearing none, then any roll call, please?
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mrs. Devine?
Yes.
Mrs. Lassiter?
Yes.
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes. Motion carries. All right, next up, I need a motion to approve the superintendent action items. The superintendent action items, please. Just the motion.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second, then. Diane.
Just the biggest thing is every month it seems like we add on more volunteers. So it's at this point amazing to me that we're adding another list there for Mobile. So.
Okay, are there any questions?
Do we use the letter of these, the superintendent action items?
We okay. I think when we first moved them into a block, we did, and then, yeah, we just didn't. Is that okay?
I don't know. That's helpful to have letters.
Would you rather have them?
Yeah,
with the letter.
I mean, if I want to add work to anybody,
yeah.
I think it's pretty easy to do.
I just noticed, wait, are we in the discussion letter? Yeah. Just noticing the donation from Dr. Niederkor to be used for educational purposes, and I guess I'm pointing that out because the levy, you know, the levy going down, I guess that's always an option for people if they want to donate to the school district.
That's tax deductible. Did we figure out if
yes,
that's
it is
tax deductible?
Yes, it is.
So. It's tax deductible.
Yeah. Any further questions? We'll get those numbered for next time. Lettered. Lettered or numbered?
Lettered.
Lettered.
It's already
Thank
numbered.
You. Lettered. Okay, then I need a roll call, please.
Mr. Laster.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. I guess that's really it for the business part of our meeting. I'm just going to go down the line. Comments or questions, Mrs. Powers?
With a heavy heart, I need to look forward to what?
Oh, okay. Mr. Lasser? Ms. Devine, sorry. Yeah, turn your name tag.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with Amy. I mean, I know we're going to work as hard as we can and try and make the best decision for our kids and our community and our school district. And I very much appreciate all the work that our teachers and do for us and administrators, everybody. We've got a great group of people.
Yeah. Ms. Greer.
I would echo Ms. Devine's comments. We do have a great group of people.
Ms. Mankins.
It's been an interesting week and a lot of heavy hearts and difficult conversations, and that work is not over. And it's reassuring to hear that everyone wants to continue to work together. And, you know, I'm as well committed to that cause. I'm pushing forward. It's not going to be easy, and there's going to be bumps and bruises along the way, but the outstanding people who came here, I think you've heard me say it at least once a month, every month since I've come here, the kids that spoke, the teachers that spoke, community members that spoke, that's what makes this place unique. It doesn't happen everywhere.
Cindy?
I have to echo that, and I also want to say thank you to everybody that helped on the levy. The levy committee did a superb job on what they did, and they're ready to go again, and I really appreciate all their support.
I think we should special thanks to Nan's daughter, Emily. Spent a lot of time.
I apologize. I know she was here.
And she did a fantastic job for us.
Yes, she did. She did. And really, I would echo, you know, the board sentiment. I mean, it's not an easy job that this group has to do. If you've ever had to sit across the table from someone and tell them they don't have a job anymore, it's gut-wrenching, I can tell you that. And I don't know how many of you have slept the last couple nights, but mine has been pretty shaky, I'll be honest with you. So, you know, I appreciate and respect all the work that our staff do in this district for our kids. And you know, we just want to continue to move forward, and that's what we're going to have to do. So.
I do want to comment since I've passed.
Sure, sure.
One of the common things where everybody spoke up was that they're concerned about kids and the students. And I just knowing this governance team, I know that we will, one, work very hard to make sure that we make the best choices possible, and two, I know we'll put students at the top of the list of our concerns. So,
I agree. Okay. Thank you. With that, then, I need a motion to move into executive session, then, please.
Second.
Move to second. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes. Okay. We are in executive session at 8:24.